Click kaya959.co.za. This is how we
do it. To download the Point of View podcast.
So, you may remember that back in 2022, the Premier of Gauteng asked the SIU to help him with an investigation into what is actually happening at the Tembisa Hospital. This is obviously on the back of the death of Babita Deokaran. May her soul rest in peace. And today, there was an interim report that was given to us. Obviously, it was a press briefing given by the SIU, the Premier, the Health Minister as well was also part of it. And the details were just so scary. So to help us unpack and understand all of this is the DA Shadow MEC of Health, Jack Bloom, who we've spoken to many, many times about the issues here in Gauteng. Jack Bloom, thank you so much for your time. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening. Good to be with you.
Jeez. I mean, I know that we've spoken about the issues in Gauteng around health, but does this still surprise you?
Well, you know, we knew there were syndicates and many of these front companies, but, you know, to think that people steal money essentially from vulnerable patients, sick people in hospitals, you know, over a period of just 2 or 3 years, you know, more than 2 billion rand was siphoned off, and there's not just three major syndicates, another six so-called smaller ones have been identified, but even they got, you know, quite high amounts. And it's just sickening to think that people... you know, are so greedy that that they'll really essentially steal money that's meant to help sick people. And Tembisa Hospital, if you go there tonight, you'll find overcrowding, broken equipment. It's so sad that the budget was there. It was just, you know, robbed.
So, you know, just let's touch on some of the modus operandi there, Jack. And I suppose, in a way, it was really good to hear some of the details of each level. So it's not just at the high level, it's at each level. Obviously, Advocate Mutibe making the point that even what would be admin clerk kind of level, you would have corruption happening there. Let's just unpack that a little for the listeners who may not have been able to listen to this briefing.
Well, they needed collusion. They needed corrupt clerks and people in what they call supply chain management. But they also had, you know, outright fraud with some companies. You see, the loophole was that when it comes, you didn't have to go out to official tender if it was below 500,000 rand. So basically, you find a lot of these contracts for 498,000 rand, or what they did is they split a larger contract. It might be a 3 million rand contract, and they split it into, you know, at least six smaller contracts so that they're below the 500,000 rand threshold, and then they've got to get three quotes. So basically, you know, you get three companies who collude so that, you know, basically they know who's going to get it and they all share in it. And there's 13 officials who've been identified who still need to be disciplined. There's 116 disciplinary referrals, so it's like more than 10 for each official. And, you know, it includes fraud and taking bribes. They found that 122 million rand was paid to officials. So you have even a lowly clerk who might be getting several million rand. He's actually a millionaire because of all these payoffs. I mean, that's, you know, there's a cog in the wheel there. There's the big fish and the small fish. And I think they need to go after the big fish as well. Very easy to discipline, you know, a mid-level official. But what about the masterminds, you know? They've identified three large major syndicates, one of which is called the Marmela Syndicate, because this particular person is nephew from President Cyril Ramaphosa's first marriage. And Mr. Morgan Marmela, one of these connected companies, is actually linked to, you know, Mr. Kat Matlala, who is also under investigation. So, I mean, the plot thickens, and of course, we all want to know who was the mastermind that gave the order to murder Babita Deokaran. I mean, that's the tragedy of this. She was just doing her job, and she reported to the chief financial officer at the time, who basically covered it up. And if it wasn't for Jeff Wicks, the reporter, none of this would have come to light. That's the frightening thing, actually.
So in your view, the response then given by the MEC of Health in Gauteng when people asked, you know, so what has happened since, was it satisfactory?
Well, not at all, because let's take the disciplinary act against the chief financial officer, the one who had actually basically covered it up. She was put on a disciplinary process. It lasted for 2 years. I mean, it should really have been concluded within months. She was suspended on full pay, and she got 3 million rand suspended on full pay, and then she was allowed to resign before the conclusion of the disciplinary process. Now, I mean, that shows you that they're dragging their heels, and this is why the DA is going to be monitoring this very closely, that we have speedy disciplinary action, that people are not allowed to resign before the end of the process, and that you recover the money from them, actually, from their pensions. The good things that's come out from the SIU. I know we're all very disappointed we don't have criminal charges yet, but the asset forfeiture unit has been very busy, and they gave us details of what has been seized so far from Mr. Morgan Marinella in particular, who's got assets of over 500 million rand, and they've attached no fewer than 4 Lamborghinis. I mean, who needs 4 Lamborghinis? And a Bentley and several pricey properties. You know, it just shows you how immoral these people are, that they're living the high life, a life of great excess, and people are suffering in our hospitals. So, you know, justice won't be done until we get the big fish. They're criminally charged, they appear in court, and the big question of all is, who gave the order to murder the Beta Diakaran? That's what everybody wants to know.
Jack, the Premier says that he would like this investigation to go to other hospitals. In your view, I think we've spoken a lot about Charlotte Maxeke. In your view, where should they go next?
Oh, it's all over the place. You know, in fact, one of my big disappointments, though, with the SIU report is they haven't given a list of companies to be blacklisted. They have one mention right at the very end about blacklisting companies. And, I've already found, when I've asked questions of the legislature, that some of these companies are still getting new contracts. And I've already put in questions to establish the latest position. Because outrageous that any of these companies are still involved getting contracts, and they get it from all sorts of hospitals. So the corruption is across the board. I think every hospital is a scam of one type or another, and that's why the DA has been calling for the removal of the present health NEC and the present head of department. You know, the present head of department is actually under investigation by the SIU himself for allegedly participating in a multi-million rand bribe to influence a tender. Now, how do you appoint a head of department for a very controversial department? The man that heads the department is himself under investigation by the SIU. You know, clearly something is wrong there. So we believe that we're not going to get rid of all the rot until we start at the top. We need new leadership there, and the Premier can do that overnight. You can change the health MEC, you can remove the head of department, you could put in, you know, really competent, honest people, and then they can clean it up, because, you know, the SIU does very valuable work, but the wheels move very slowly, and I think that whistleblowers, if there was another Dabita Diakaran in the Gauteng Health Department, I think he or she would be silenced yet again, because there have been cover-ups, and I think there are more cover-ups.
Jack Bloom, thank you very much for your time. DA Shadow MEC of Health in Gauteng, thank you very much. I also have in studio Action SA Member of Parliament, Dr. Khosi Letlape, MP. Thank you so much for coming through this evening. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening to you and good evening to the listeners.
As Action SA, you've also raised concerns about the report that was given, the interim report that was given by the SIU. Your thoughts on what should be done? I mean, it's still an interim report, but you really feel something has to be done urgently.
I think the real problem is that we've got a system failure. And we got to stop going on after the small fish and to go to the top, to where the rot starts. In any well-meaning organization, when you have a problem of this nature, the CEO needs to account. So we can't be talking about low-level officials like they aren't highly paid officials that are supposed to be responsible. The province should take responsibility because it's public funds that have gone out there. Everybody has known about this pattern of siphoning of funds for more than 15 years in this province, maybe 20 years. Mm. This is no different from what happened in Life as Idumani. Mm. This is just about incompetence and attachment to freebies. This is just corruption in a system that is inefficient. Why would anybody be able to get away with 850 counts of fraud? How do you do that?
I'm struck by that when you listen to the details of how they actually operated, we are told that the goods, it's not as if two of the 10 arrived. Nothing arrived.
But
and you keep paying 800 million.
But that's the point. Who controls the budget? You have a CFO in the hospital, and everybody is talking about, but where is the accounting officer? Where are the secure systems? Where is the system from National Department of Health that ensures that provinces and large hospitals like this work properly? Have they ever heard of line budgeting, where you actually know what the needs of the hospital are? It's not like you're going to have unknowns going forward. You know the things that you need. You know the supplies. You know things for maintenance. You know the drugs you need, the equipment you need. Why can't we have an efficient procurement system where there's oversight about delivery? I mean, this is the whole system being rotten. And you got to do an overhaul of the system. If you link it, some of the things that are frightening to me is that you listening to the commission.
It was, for me, it's just like you're listening to the same report. It was as if you're listening to the same
report. It's like you're listening to the same report. And all these things are connected.
Absolutely.
All these things is because those that have oversight are looking the other way. So they're participating by not doing their job. Mm. Or they are actively have been told, we're going to arrive this time, security, go for a wee break. It looks like they're forever on a pee break. I mean, it's frightening when you try and connect the dots.
Mm-hmm.
You become discouraged.
You do.
You become discouraged in terms of how interwoven it is.
Yeah.
And I think we got to look at it holistically and stop trying to focus. I mean, you hear people say, let's go for another hospital. The system is broken. Fix the system. Then you can then go. You know, if you have a leaking pipe, you're not saying, let me leave this pipe leaking. Let me go and look for others. This is what we do. You know you're going to find leaking pipes. You know they are leaking. They've just not been reported. Or nobody has died. Nobody has been brave enough to blow the whistle so that they can pay with their life. That's why there's no attention. So you can expect that this is widespread.
Except in this case, someone has died.
Yes, and that's why we are where we are. Because somebody did their job and paid with their life.
And the minister spoke about another individual, Mr. T, who has been hit twice, and is in hiding, sitting and living with bullets lodged in his body because it's too dangerous to get them off his body. And he asked the question, and I want to hear your take on this, why the target was Thembisa Hospital. You don't believe it's just Thembisa Hospital, do you?
No, I don't believe it's just Thembisa Hospital.
Mm.
I think this is widespread. This is happening at many levels in many hospitals.
Mm.
Because when you go to other hospitals, Northwest, Eastern Cape, they all fraught with nothing is available. There's no staff. There's no drugs. There's no this. There's no water. So it's a national problem. You know, you have to treat it like we deal with pandemics. When there's one outbreak in one corner,
so let me
you
ask
put
you,
the country on quarantine. You don't just quarantine one corner.
Let me ask you, as a member of parliament, what role then does the portfolio committees, what's their role in the oversight of some of these fraught departments?
We've said if health has to work,
it
must be made a national competence. Mm. You look at the other commission and they're talking about the police.
Mm.
At least the police is a national competence.
Yes.
So even though you have a provincial commissioner, a national commissioner, they all under one command from the national commissioner. And he's aware of what's happening and he takes responsibility and protects them out there.
Mm.
The minister should be commanding the MECs and knowing what they do and holding them accountable. And when there's something leaking in their promise, in their province, get them to account.
But
now we now have this loose system where we have lots of officials with no responsibilities.
Mm.
They are just an expenditure item and you can't hold anybody accountable. We need to create a system where when we have a disaster like this in the health system, the National Health Minister should account. The minister should be sitting with the MECs and telling us how this happens under their watch. That's how the system should operate. Not to act surprised, but to take responsibility and say, I'm going to get this fixed. So provincialization doesn't work.
Well, you have other parties, I'm sure you know, who say no. The central system doesn't work. They want the police, for instance, to be decentralized. You've heard the DA say, that doesn't work.
We one country.
Yeah.
Okay. And if it works in one out of nine, it's not even a 30% pass of the basic education. It's a failed system. So they can't be treated as exceptions. We are one country, one system, and if only one province works, it means provincialization doesn't work. This exceptionalization of saying, oh, we are making it work, does not constitute a system. That's cessation thinking.
Hmm. A little bit, we've got calls coming in. In fact, I'll welcome more, 086-000-0959. Malitsema is in Springs. Malitsema, good evening and welcome. And Tate Letlap is listening. Good evening.
Hi, Osman. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Nka e ganelang e ke balang na e re ba rapelle bao ba leng authority e a ke gane ra ba rapelle. Mara ultimately, for how long, ne? Batho ba senya. And then we say fix the system, which system? Go merekong e fo sente. Ba o kenya go difficulty in hearing. Then go bona hala gore go tsa alang ka wena. Mara government ya rena e, a gona le yone re ka mo supa gore ka o tsela di batho ba ashwa, di whistleblowers di ashwa because of the corruption that is happening in this country. Nothing gets done to people busing young more country in our people, but they keep on getting into the cookie jar, eating the cookies. I just said the cookies are born. The level is a little of people until when the parties in the abuwe get to come can into the government. Mara give a man of people and catch a word by shady by a panty to manage because of land by Yenzai.
That's what people are feeling and thinking every single day. The frustration is real.
Yes, but the point is, when I say fix the system, people need to think wider.
Hmm.
Before I came in, I was listening to ENCA. They were discussing the same thing.
Mm.
And the unions were saying, you're blaming lowly officials. The rot is from the top. But when you look at it, what our freedom has given us is non-accountability. At all levels, whether you are public, private, or in government, or you're just a villain that's going to rape a seven-year-old or kill a loved one, this country is based on non-accountability. And we are suffering from the deal that was made because it took accountability out of the court, through it out of the window. If you look at the TRC, I mean, the previous head of state of apartheid worked the finger at them, said, there's nothing that you can do about me. It's non-accountability. When you look at our current political configurations of the party that has been dominant, they've got a tripartite alliance. Mm. So because of that tripartite alliance, the unions are in with the government and with the Communist Party. And from the party, party officials are immune from accountability. You know, long leave, displacement, they make you an ambassador, etc., etc. Union system that we have. Instead of the union saying, this is a public pass, if any of our members are involved, they should be punished. No, they are deflecting and they are protecting their members. And they are in an alliance with the governing party. So we have had an unfortunate situation where, because of the apartheid experience, we never had an open discussion about what happened. We've never healed. We've never spoken about it. We just made a deal. And the deal was a deal of going silent and nobody's going to account. And we're paying for that deal. So we swung the pendulum the other way, where there were things that are good that were abused and we now don't want them. For example, let me just give you influx control. Mm-hmm. It's knowing where your people are, but it was abused. And because it was abused, we came up with an open border system. Now our townships have turned into refugees. So we've discarded what was good because it was abused. We don't want people that have wronged society when they go to prison to pay. We want the prisons to be ones with rights, rehab. And people inside feel if you're suffering, the best way to get rid of your suffering is to get incarcerated. Look at what the arguments are with the fire in Johannesburg.
Do you remember? Testimony is shocking.
So you have to understand.
Yeah.
We've swung the other way, where people are now not accountable. You can be suspended on full pay for 10 years. How can that system work? You're saying you're going to discipline these people? The disciplinary hearings will still be on with the next general election. They won't be completed. And those people are inside the unions and they'll be going to look for votes for the party so that the party can continue.
What should happen now, Dr. Lithlop, immediately?
We all need to wake up to the fact that we need a much, much broader discussion about ensuring that in this country, crime should not pay. Crime pays. Whether you are a delinquent worker, whether you are an abusive husband, whether you're stealing resources, whether you're violating traffic laws, whether you're stealing infrastructure, stealing the rail line, illegal connections, not paying your bills, crime pays in this country. And once you've committed a crime, you have rights. And nobody talks about what you did wrong and you having to pay for what you did wrong. If you squat for 4 days and nobody discovers you, when you're discovered, you got to be given accommodation. Well, what country can run under those rules? So our problems are much, much bigger than we even can begin to imagine. I mean, these are union people. The others at the top are deployees. All of them are protected by the system because they belong and they can't be victims. And we've created a system in this country that makes crime pay. Victims have no recourse.
Well, really,
so Babita will never have proper recourse.
Yeah. Dr. José Lithlop, I really appreciate you coming through this evening. Thank you so much for your time. He is Action SA Member of Parliament. And I do see your calls. I'll take them in a short while, but I do have to take a quick break.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.